Im Namen der Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. For today we have our first Friday, but also the feast of Saint Peter Chrysologus, an important figure in the early church, and also Saint Barbara, another martyr of the early church. And I think she has a more interesting story than St. Peter Chrysologus. He's a doctor of the church, but we'll hear more about St. Barbara. I think that's the more engaging story. But first, St. Peter Chrysologus, he was born in the year 380 in Italy and instructed in the faith, ordained a deacon at a young age, and then later on, the emperor, Valentinian II, had him appointed an archdeacon. The emperors had more power in the church at that time. Eventually, he became the bishop of Ravenna. Now, that is an important city in Italy. Ravenna, next to Rome, was the next most important city. And so he became bishop by divine appointment. He was part of a contingent that went to Rome. The bishop of Ravenna had died, and he was in a contingent of people that went to Rome, and they had a man that they were going to petition and make a bishop. And then they arrived there, and the night before, who was it? It was the Saint Apollinarius. Now he had a dream that. I'm reading it again here. Pope Sixtus. Pope Sixtus awoke, and Saint Apollinarius had been the previous bishop of Ravenna. And in the dream, Sixtus saw Apollinarius presenting this young man whom Pope Sixtus didn't recognize. It's like, who is this? He woke up the next day, and then this contingent comes asking for a new bishop. And it's this guy for bishop, but then he sees, hey, this was a young man in my dream whom Saint Apollinarius pointed out. So that's going to be your bishop. They were just confused, like, he's a deacon. What are you talking about? But they made him bishop, and he became a doctor of the church. So that's often how God works in the world. When He wants something done, sometimes He just does it. And He does it Himself. Against all there's no reason this should happen, right? Somebody gets a dream, you're directly appointed. Okay, nobody saw that coming. That's how it works. Kind of like a convenient death in the Supreme Court just before it really matters. That's how God likes to operate in the world. Let's not forget about things like that. So St. Peter Chrysologus was made Bishop of Ravenna. And he became noted for his very clear, very profound, and very short sermons. Well, I guess I got 2 out of 3, maybe. After hearing his first homily as a bishop, the Roman Empress gave him the name Chrysologus, which means golden-worded. And so we have 176 of his sermons preserved down through the ages. Now, he was made a doctor of the church. It wasn't until 1729. He was made a doctor of the church because of those 176 short sermons that come down to us over the ages, they deal with very basic and direct themes of the faith, the Gospels, John the Baptist, the Blessed Virgin. And of those topics, he talks about Mary's perpetual virginity, the true presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, the penitential value of Lent, the primacy of St. Peter and his successors. And this is in the year 380. So the church is being attacked in the 1700s, and all these doctrines of the church were claimed not to be present from the beginning. Those were inventions later on. And so St. Peter Chrysologus is proof. No, very, very early in the 380s, this bishop is talking about them already as established doctrine. There was no disagreement with what he said. This is just simple, basic Catholic teaching. It doesn't happen overnight. So this is proof that even before 380, hundreds of years before 380, these themes were understood and recognized. That's why he's a doctor of the church, and that's why he was named so at the time in the 1700s to point to that. So he died. He wasn't a martyr, that's why I'm wearing white, but he died a good death, full of good works, and those, like I said, 176 sermons attesting to the faith of the early church. Thus, St. Chrysologus, our saint for today. And now also St. Barbara, the more interesting one, I think, and she was in the year, this one's about 250, 300, and she was one of the 14 holy helpers, very popular in the Middle Ages. Now, St. Barbara is where is the real historical figure from whom comes Rapunzel, if you know that story. Rapunzel, let down your hair, right? So St. Barbara was very beautiful. She was the daughter of a pagan and his only child after her mother, his wife, died. And so she became the object of her father's obsession. She was all he had, and so to keep her away from the world, he locked her up in a tower. Yes, it actually really happened. Fairy tales come from somewhere, right? It's because somebody somewhere in the world did something crazy, and they make a fairy tale out of it. So she's stuck up in this tower, and she's looking outside at the big wide world around her, and she has nothing else to do, so she starts thinking, who made this world? How did the sky and the sunsets and all this? So very active mind. She must have been a very intelligent young lady. And to that intelligence was added education, for her father had the only people he would allow in the tower were pagan instructors. But they instructed her in classical literature. And just because somebody's a pagan doesn't mean they can't recognize the truth. And so this was the case with the ancient Romans and the ancient Greeks. They recognized the natural law that God built into the world. The natural law is kind of like, I don't know, it's the mathematics of truth. When you recognize the natural law, some things are true. You look around, well, the world didn't make itself. Where did this come from? You start using the reasoning process. You reason back to what's called the first cause or the prime mover. That very first movement that moved everything else. This is basic logic. So this is what you discover, right? When you don't have any of these other, like these pressures we have in the modern world. I mean, the world is filled with probably more idiots than ever before, and the biggest trouble is they're all in charge. Right? That's the trouble with the modern world. We're not more educated than the people of the past. Right? Those ancient philosophers were brilliant. So she gets this knowledge, and she realizes the pagan idols that my father worships can't be the people that made the world. I think those can't be gods. That's preposterous. So she knows. St. Barbara knows, locked up in the tower, getting this pagan instruction, there must be something else besides these idols my father's worshiping who made the world. Eventually, she's of an age where she should be married, so her father brings to her all these suitors, and she says, no, I have vowed my virginity until I find out who the creator of the world is. She wasn't even Catholic at this time. But she recognized there was something important about virginity. Even a pagan realizes that. This is natural law stuff. So he's like, okay, I made a mistake. And this is how you know it's not a fairy tale, right? Fairy tales don't go like this. Her father said, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have kept her locked up all these years. Now she's, you know, antisocial. So I'm going to let her out of the tower and just, you know what, go. Experience the world and see all the stuff that you missed. I guess maybe now it's safe. And so I don't think that sounds very safe to me. Right, you keep a girl locked up and then just give her free rein. But guess what she did? She went and she found very quickly she found Catholics. She's asking, hey, who made the world? Who's going to answer my questions? And so she tracks into these Catholic circles, and she's convinced very quickly. Okay, that's true. This is the most reasonable explanation of the world. She becomes Catholic. She doesn't tell her father, though, which probably was a wise thing to do. And she's like resisting. He wants her to meet these suitors. She's like, no, I don't think so. So this goes on for some months, sometimes, I don't know, maybe a year. He goes away on a journey. And in the meantime, he's built for her a bathhouse. He's having it constructed. He goes off. And this is interesting. This bathhouse is being constructed. She's a Catholic. She's been baptized. And he had two windows built into the southern side of this bathhouse. And she says, I want a third window put in. Like, what does that have to do with anything? She's looking at this bathhouse, and she's like, I know what a bathhouse is for. This needs to be a baptistry. This water is a symbol of baptism. And when you're baptized, you're illuminated with light. Where does light come from? The Holy Trinity. So she's got three windows in this baptistry, or this bathhouse, that she knows what the significance is. And this is how she's going to tell her father when he returns, I become Catholic. So he returns, and he finds out, what's this third window doing in here? She tells him. This is the Trinity, this is baptism, and it happened to me, and I'm Catholic, and this is the truth, and I'm going to stay a virgin and give my life to God. So he does what any obsessive, compulsive father would do, who loves himself more than his daughter. He takes a sword and tries to kill her. She runs off, right? She's like, okay, maybe martyrdom is good, but not yet. So she runs off into the hills, and he tries to track her down, but she's, I guess, I don't know, faster, or she managed to hide in one of the caves, And she is sold out by shepherds. Two shepherds saw her, and one of them didn't say anything, but the other one snitched. Don't be a snitch. Now, this is where the fairy tale element comes in, right? Modernists will say, none of this is true. Why? Well, because the legend goes, the shepherd that ratted her out turned into stone, and all of his sheep turned into locusts. That's what you tell the kids to get them not to be snitches, right? That's the fairy tale aspect of it. Just because one part of it is fanciful doesn't mean the whole story is not true. So she's discovered, right? The shepherd sees her, turns her in, her father takes her, and doesn't treat her very well. He doesn't kill her, I guess running off, he ran off some anger or something, but he beats her rather severely, locks her in the tower again, this time with no food. That will teach her. And then he goes to the governor of the town and says, you know, my daughter became a Christian, a Catholic. I think we need to, you know. So he turns her in, basically. So she goes before the governor, and they're both furious. And so they do what, you know, all the other governors did, is they start torturing her and, you know, scourging her and so on. And pretty severely. In fact, it was rough. They scourged her and then rubbed salt into her wounds, made them deeper and, you know, more painful. Well, she prays to God that evening, that very night it happens, and the next morning, all of her wounds are healed. So they do it again. And she prays the next night, her wounds are healed again. And so you would think, you know, they would learn their lesson. Like they saw the blood, the scars, the lacerations, that stuff doesn't heal overnight. But it does for St. Barbara, right? It does for those who put their trust in God. And so the third day, the governor condemns her to death, to be beheaded. And the executioner is her own father. And that, just like I said, this shows that some people, they feel like, oh, I love you so much. They don't love the other person. They love themselves. And this is proof. Is that when people who say that they love you, or I hope it doesn't happen to anybody, you have to love what is good for them. This is what happens. This is classic manipulation, OCD. It happened all that human nature doesn't change. I can't control you. And so because I can't control you, now there's no longer love, there's hatred, right? There's vengeance, there's anger. Why? Because it was about me. It was always about me, right? It was about my feelings and you satisfied something, some desire I had. And now that you don't satisfy it anymore, there's no love, right? That's how you know exactly this kind of stuff. So her own father beheads her and she offers her life to God. And thus consummated a glorious martyrdom. Now, it didn't end there. St. Barbara's the patron saint of artillery in the U.S. Armed Forces. Anybody know that? Why? Because after her father beheaded her, lightning struck him and the governor dead. Sign of divine disapproval. This is the legend, right? This legend of St. Barbara. You know, the legend, it's not fake. And I say that multiple times. There are fanciful elements that creep into such stories such as these. But what is more, I would say, what takes more faith is to believe that all of these stories that have come down to us, all of them were fabricated. They're all fake. I don't think so, right? You read the elements of these stories, you start to be able to tell this sounds true, right? You can pull out lessons. You can pull out just like this is human behavior. This is how it works. This is how grace works. This is how vice works, right? You see it. And that's one of the problems of liberalism is it interprets the present or the past in light of the present. This is what we think now. This is our impression now. And that's the way it's always been. What did they think in the past? Why did they say what they did? They didn't say what they did without good reason. What do we think now, and is it in conformity? Is it in line with what came previous? That's how the Catholics think. You don't throw out the wisdom of the ages. So it's these stories, right? St. Barbara, St. Peter Chrysologus, that's where we're going to find the answer to the modern world. Right, it's not going to be in technology. It's not going to be in presidents. It's not going to be in elections. It's going to be in prayer. Right, all those other things, those are side effects. But it's going to be the searching after the truth, like St. Barbara, preaching the truth, like Peter Chrysologus. We don't have to be eloquent in words, but eloquent in, I would say, heart, because the heart determines what we say and what we do. Even if we're uneducated, we don't have a brilliant education, we're not a bishop, but if what's in our heart is pure, if what is in our heart is eloquent, that's what's going to be in our actions. That's what's going to be in everything we do. People will see that. Right? And that's what converts the world. And everybody can do this, no matter how old or young you are. Right? 80 or 8 or 5, any 5-year-old kids out there, you can be edifying. You can change people by your behavior. I don't think you can't. So pray to St. Barbara that she will help you to be firm. Pray to St. Peter Chrysologus to help you be eloquent in your speech and in your actions. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.